Scripture reading is for today is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Again, that's John 20, 19 through 31. There we go. So, again, our scripture lesson is John 20, verses 19 through 31. Hear now the word of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other things and many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. So, we have this scripture this morning, the second Sunday of Easter, right? The first Sunday where it's not just about the empty tomb and Jesus in the garden and all that, but something so big, something so earth-shattering and earth-shaking as Jesus coming back from the dead is bound to have repercussions, right? It's going to have shockwaves for many, many weeks to come. And isn't that how it is in regular life? How many times have you been just bopping along in life and then suddenly something happens, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, right? Something happens and it's big and everything changes. And pretty soon you're dealing with that for months, weeks, years to come. For me, I think of that as, right, for all of us, right? We can think of that as pre and post pandemic, right? How many of us were just going along like normal, and then all of a sudden, it comes on the news, you got to stay home. And you can't leave your house. And you can't do this and you can't do that. And pretty soon, right, now it's been over a year. And we're used to these masks. May not like them, but we're used to them. And we're used to, you know, different ways of handling visits with our families. Or how do we go to restaurants? Do we go to restaurants? Do we eat in our cars? All these kinds of things, right? How many of us have been to see a movie in forever, right? For a long time, they were just closed. Now they're kind of open, I think. But, you know, there's certain things that we just don't do now that we used to do pretty commonly, right? And all of that can be traced back to like a day in March where suddenly, bam, things changed. Jesus' resurrection is that, right? But in a good way. Jesus' resurrection is that thing where the disciples were going along and they thought they knew where they were headed. They were following Jesus and he was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be the king and everything was going to be great. And then he was arrested and they said, "Wait, whoa, whoa, wait a minute." And then he died and then he was buried. But then he rose and they're on this like roller coaster of emotions. But the fact when he shows up in this scripture, in their presence, in that room, everything's different. Right? And one thing that really stood out to me, especially in the world we live in right now, is what Jesus does when he first sees them. He breathes on them. Right? We don't breathe on anybody anymore. Right? First of all, it was kind of weird and off-putting to breathe on people before the pandemic, right? But now, right, you don't want somebody in your personal space. But Jesus comes in and he says, don't be afraid. First of all, I'm going to be afraid, right? Doors are locked, windows are closed. Somebody shows up who's supposed to be dead, by the way, in the room with me. They're afraid. Of course they're afraid. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Look at my hands, right? It's me. It's Jesus. And they recognize him. And then he breathes on them. Now that's a very, very intimate thing, isn't it? Think about even before the pandemic, how many people you had breathe on you? I can tell you my wife and my daughter breathe on me. And Harper does it all the time because she doesn't have a concept of personal space, right? As a little kid, right? They get on you and they're daddy, 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 right? And so there's something intimate about somebody breathing on you. And Jesus, when Jesus breathes on the disciples, I want you to think about this as like when God, the Spirit of God, moves over the waters at creation. And when God looks at this lump of clay and he says, and God says, I'm going to make humankind in our image. And what does God do? Breathes life into that dirt, right? And makes it into the man. Makes it into humankind. That is the kind of breathing that Jesus is doing. That Jesus is saying, you are, right now, you're like that mud, that clay that God is making into a human. And now you're never going to be the same. Everything's going to be different. You are filled with life, filled with new spirit, so that when you leave from this room, right, the disciples haven't left yet, but when they leave from this room, they're different. They're no longer disciples. They're apostles. And one of the things that I have a hard time teaching my students is the difference between a disciple and an apostle. Is that on tests, they always do bad on this because they're like, well, they're the same thing. Well, no, a disciple follows and an apostle is sent out, right? So a disciple follows Jesus, like the sheep in our Sunday school lesson this morning. A disciple follows Jesus, an apostle is sent out to proclaim the gospel on behalf of Jesus. And so they're now the teachers. They're now the ones who are spreading the word. They're the ones that go to the towns. Not like Jesus, they go out on their own. And we know from our church traditions and some of the stories in the Bible that they went all over the world. Some of them went to places like Europe, like in Greece and places like that. Some of them went to Africa, Egypt, and things like that. Some of them went to India and to other places around the world to spread the good news of Jesus. Now, do you think those guys who scattered and ran and hid in the upper room were ready to go and spread the good news when they did that? No, but something changed. What changed was they saw the Lord, right? They saw him. They saw the holes in his hands. They saw the hole in his side. They could hug him. He breathed on them and their lives were changed forever. And then Thomas comes in, right? Thomas, who probably was the only one who had guts, right? Thomas wasn't there. What do you think that means about Thomas? Thomas was outside. The other disciples were huddled in fear in the upper room. Thomas went out and got food. Thomas went out and did what needed to be done, even though he was at great risk, or he thought he was at great risk, right? Thomas had the guts. And while he did that, Jesus pops up in the upper room and, by the way, shows the disciples the holes in his hands and in his side, right? And they say, Thomas, Thomas, you'll never believe it. Jesus was here and we could see him and he had holes in his hands and this, that, and the other. And Thomas, as most people would do, says, y'all, I didn't know you had a secret stash, but y'all have been drinking while I was gone, right? He assumes they're either roasted with grief or they've been partaking in something they shouldn't have to numb the pain. And he thinks that they're crazy. And he says, unless I see the holes in his hands and the holes in his side, I'm not going to believe. And yet, they've already seen that, right? Sometimes Thomas gets a bad rap, doesn't he? People call him Doubting Thomas and all that kind of stuff. But you know what Thomas did? Thomas, according to church tradition, went and spread the gospel into India. And there are still churches in India that that claim to have been founded by Thomas the Apostle. Now, that's a place that's very, very different from where he grew up, right? That is not that he went to Egypt and spread the gospel. That's not that he went to the next town over and spread the gospel. He went to a whole new world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people were converted and heard about Jesus and learned about the life-changing love of Christ because of Thomas's faith. But they all get breathed on, right? They all get breathed on. And there, Jesus says something kind of scary here. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And that doesn't sound scary at first until you really think about it. What does that mean? It means that as followers of Christ, as apostles of Christ, if they choose to forgive someone, then that person is forgiven. What a wonderful blessing to be able to do that. But then comes the responsibility. If you choose not to forgive someone, then they're not forgiven. That is a power I don't want, right? I think it's a power that the apostles don't want. Because what do we tend to do? We tend to forgive the people who we like and not forgive the people we don't like, right? Because, well, you know, we're kind of better predisposed to that person that we liked in the first place. And so, yeah, we want to forgive them. Or we'll forgive the people who have hurt us in a small way, but not the people who have really deeply injured us. The problem there is, did Jesus only die for the people who kind of hurt us? No. Did he only die for the people who look like us or the people who we have gotten along with over a long time and we can, you know, kind of chalk it up to a misunderstanding? No. Jesus died for the strong people and the weak people, the people who we like and the people we really don't like. Jesus died for the people who look like us and the people that don't look like us. Everybody Jesus died for and was resurrected for. And so we have, as if we are looking at ourselves as following in the line of the apostles, right, as people who are following Jesus, who have heard the word, who have been breathed on by the Holy Spirit, right? We think that that happens with baptism, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit. If we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then the forgiveness that we give matters. And it can be huge in the life of someone else. Not only in a sense of they can feel better, but that it could be what allows them to experience Christ. We, as Christians, right, kind of means little Jesus is little Christ's. We go out into the world as representatives of Jesus. And if we forgive, then people understand that Jesus forgives. If we show mercy, people understand that Jesus shows mercy. And that's a wonderful gift that we have. But if we choose to hold on to grudges, if we choose to punish those with whom we disagree, if we choose to lord our power over someone else, then people think that that's what Jesus does. And pretty soon, we're no longer apostles of Christ, we're apostles of us. So Jesus comes into the upper room, and he talks to these disciples who followed Jesus, but they really had ideas for what he was going to do. And they were ready for him to do what they wanted. And when he didn't, they were confused and they were frightened and they were frustrated. Jesus breathes on them and changes their lives. May we feel that Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, in our lungs today. You see, Thomas didn't believe at first because he didn't see Jesus. The other apostles saw Jesus. The good news is you and I can see Jesus every single day. We just have to look for him. We have to be looking in the eyes of the people that we encounter. We have to be looking at the children that we see in our schools. We have to be looking at the people in the Epworth home. We have to be looking at the men at the Wright House, right? When we do those things, that's where we see Jesus. And the way that we love, the way that we treat, the way that we interact with those people is how we interact with Jesus. And it's how that we spread Jesus' good news. We have a wonderful privilege, a wonderful opportunity to see Jesus and to bless others in his name, but we have to be looking for him. We won't see him if we're not looking for him. Think about it this way. You ever gotten a new car? Or a new-to-you car, right? We recently got, a couple years ago, got like a minivan. And I never noticed how many minivans were out there on the road until I was driving one, right? Now, were there any more minivans than before? No, I just noticed them. It's the same way with Christ. If we're looking for Jesus, we're going to see Jesus. If we're not looking for Jesus, we're going to see the brokenness and the evil and the all that stuff in the world. But if we're looking for the holes in his hands and the hole in his side, we can see him and we can feel his presence and we can bless others in his name. That is how we continue Easter. That is how we make sure that Easter is not just a one Sunday thing that makes us feel good that week, right? Didn't y'all feel good hearing all that music last week? Right? And remembering, getting to seeing outside, I loved all that. That was a great high. But then I went to work and stuff happened and I got frustrated and all this, right? And it was a normal week. But Easter is not just one day. Easter is what's in our hearts. Easter is remembering that Christ is risen and risen indeed. And that because he has won the victory, we don't have to fear. That we can forgive as he forgave. We can love as he loved and share that love every single opportunity that we get. So I encourage you, take that breath in, ready to share, ready to love, ready to be Christ's hands and feet in this world so that Easter doesn't stop today, that it doesn't stop next week, and heck, it doesn't stop after Pentecost, but it keeps going so that every day can be a little Easter. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.